How many of you guys like to watch a good hero movie? How many of you like your... All right. I knew we got some. How many of you are Marvel fans? Okay, DC? Whoa! So growing up, I was not necessarily a DC fan, but I was a big Superman fan, right? Superman's the best. He's got, you know, all the superpowers, right? But I never understood the fascination with the whole idea of Superman versus Batman. I don't understand that. I just don't get it. And I was sitting there thinking about some things this week, and I thought, you know what? Marvel did that too. They had the whole Avengers Civil War thing, didn't they? They had all these superheroes over here against all these. It's crazy. It's crazy to have to think about two good things battling each other. Isn't that kind of nuts? Paul actually deals with two good things that seem to be in contradiction or in battle with each other today. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 14, and we're going to look at, on one side in the ring, you have the gift of tongues. On the other side in the ring, you have the gift of prophecy. And today at the end, we will see who wins and who comes out the champion, right? We see that's kind of the attitude that Corinth took with spiritual gifts. He said, if you have the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, and we'll kind of get into what speaking in tongues is all about. If you have that spiritual gift, you, sir, are spiritual. You, ma'am, are just way up there on God's special ladder, okay? And so therefore, everybody lifted up that gift and they said, hey, you're awesome. And to everybody else who may not have had a speaking gift or even prophecy, they said, you're nothing. And so we're gonna honor those people who are the most spiritual, right? That's what church is about. We gather together to worship each other. Oh, no, that's not. Don't give me that look, Nick. Come on, Nick looked at me like I'm being serious. He's like, wait a minute, that's not why I'm here. That's what happens when you react big to me, Nick. I catch you. Anyway. So, the reason why we're here is to do what? Why do we meet together? To worship and encourage and disciple and praise? Yeah, serve? Yes, all those things. We meet here to love each other, okay? The church is given gifts for the single purpose of serving each other, all right? Okay, and we use those to help each other. Now, the Church of Corinth had got that all wrong. They were kind of worshiping themselves, and they were lifting people up rather than lifting up Jesus. They were honoring some people to the exclusion of others. So, he says this. After we saw all that in chapter 12 and now chapter 13, God, you know, Paul says, I want to show you a better way to use your gifts, not for the uplifting of self, but for the love and service of other people. That's chapter 13. In chapter 14, he says this, pursue, love, and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Okay? Especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands him. But he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you, unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? Even if lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if your tongue and your utter your speech that's not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in the building of the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks to with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. All right, how many of you got what Paul's talking about, right? We got, you know, the church is lifting up both these gifts or some gifts to the exclusion of others. And what's Paul say? Right when he said, right at the beginning of the letter, what does he say? Because after the chapter 12 and chapter 13, you kind of get the fact, like, you know, I wonder if these Corinthian people were starting to be like, wow, maybe I shouldn't really be worrying about spiritual gifts at all. Maybe, what does Paul say? Does he say that spiritual gifts are just something that should be pushed aside now? That's not what he says. He says what? Pursue love, all right, and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Paul says, pursue love. What does it mean to pursue? I mean, to go after or to exercise effort in love. All right? Now, that's really kind of weird, isn't it? We don't normally think of love as something that we pursue. It's something that happens, right? How many of you think of love as something you pursue rather than something that happens? Or normally, we're used to thinking of something that just happens, right? It's a feeling that comes up in our inner parts, and then what? Then we act. But the Bible says to pursue love. It means make an effort to love people. Then it says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. So Paul is not wiping away the use of spiritual gifts at all. He's not telling the church at Corinth, stop what you're doing. He's telling them, stop your attitude, stop the way that you're ranking them, but he's not telling them to stop their working or their doing of these spiritual gifts. So pursue love, or work for it. Then he says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Okay. Now we're not getting very far very fast, are we? How is it that we act all this out? Pursuing love. Well, we know that one. But what about these spiritual gifts? Do you desire spiritual gifts? That's an interesting thought. Do I desire to use spiritual gifts? Or maybe I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. Do I desire to use whatever I can to love people? Because that's what I believe Paul is talking about. Take what God's given you, whatever level of maturity you're at, and use it for the benefit of other people, to lift them up. He says, desire the spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Wait a minute. Paul is just telling the whole church at Corinth not that they should pursue tongues, but that they should pursue prophecy or prophesying. Let's say prophesying instead of prophecy, okay? Because we usually associate prophecy with things like the book of Revelation. Okay, so let's take that out. Okay, he says, pursue prophesying. So we have to ask ourselves again, what is prophesying? I think we've identified, or we've kind of defined this 3 or 4 times now in the last 3 or 4 weeks. What is prophesying? What does it mean to prophesy? Let's take the revelation part of it out, the speaking about the future and what's going to happen. Let's take that out of the equation, because he's asking the church to focus on prophesying, which is speaking the truths of God for the edification, for the encouragement, for the building up, for the for people to understand so that they can be convicted by the Spirit and worship God. We're going to see that a little bit here. So when Paul is using prophesying, he's not necessarily talking about future telling. He's talking about speaking the words, or speaking, you might even say, the mind of God to other people. Okay? And so he's telling the whole church to desire this. You think that's interesting? Because, I mean, there's plenty of people here who probably do not desire to get up and use this gift. Right? We don't necessarily desire to get up and after we've read the scriptures and been influenced by the Spirit to speak out what God's will is to other people, do we? It's a little scary, isn't it? Most of us might even say, I don't have this gift. It's not part of my gifting. It's not part of my makeup. But Paul still here says, talking about these two speaking gifts, prophecy versus tongues, you ought to desire prophecy, which is interesting, don't you think? Why should we desire prophecy? For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. All right, so let's just step back here from the speaking gifts for a second. What is the purpose of spiritual gifts? What's that last statement say? To build up the church, right? So maybe you're still searching. Maybe it's like, yeah, I can't really pinpoint what my spiritual gift. That's okay. That's okay. But we use whatever God has given us to do what? To build up the church. Now, Paul is explaining the differences between the two speaking gifts, prophecy and tongues. All right? Prophecy happens for what? For encouragement, consolation. Okay? Prophecy speaks to people. Tongues to God. Why? It's the nature of the thing. What is the gift of tongues? What is the gift of tongues? If we look at what Paul seems to be saying, the gift of tongues is a language that is not, that the speaker does not previously speak. And in Corinth, they were using the gift of tongues with around people who did not either know that language. It was a real language. I don't know what language it was, but it was something different. Okay? Now, the only person who understood that speech was who? God. The people who were speaking in the tongues didn't even know what they were saying sometimes. Okay? Now, somehow, Paul says it's okay for you to use that gift between you and God. But he says, in the church, prophesy. Why? Speak clearly so that people understand. So, kind of backtrack here a little bit. We all want to use our gifts for the purpose of building up the church. I ask you this question real quick. How are you building the church? I heard spiritual gifts put this way. Spiritual gift is a gifting that when you do it, you know that somehow you are communing with the Spirit and God. It brings you closer to Jesus when you do it. So let me ask you a question again. How are you personally building the church of God? Do you come to the church, do you come to this gathering of people expecting to build the church of God, whether it's through encouragement, whether it's through mercy or helps, just being with people in their time of need? Or maybe it is that you know some things and are able to speak and use a gift of like prophecy. Whatever it is, each one of us need to be reading the Word of God. We need to be developing and maturing so that way, and we serve. And each of us build the church together to grow it in unity, to grow it in maturity, to grow it in whatever way that we can. Each one of us is responsible for that. And so we have to take out our little notepad here and say, all right, how am I using what God has gifted me with to build the church? I hope then we can start writing some things down. This is what God has given me to do. I can't speak, I can't teach, but I can do this. Okay. That's what Paul is challenging the church at Corinth to do. Use your gifts to serve other people. He says, now brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation, knowledge, or prophecy, or teaching? Even lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes. How will anybody know what is being played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if you're with your tongue and utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? So, first Paul, in the first paragraph, he's writing about the idea that we all ought to come together to serve, to pursue love, to desire gifts, to use them to build up for the edification of the church. All right? That's what we come together to do. Then, as he talks about this, he goes on to discuss the differences between prophecy and tongues and why it's so important that when we speak, we are clear. We say clear things so people understand. And he brings up this idea of an instrument. I'm getting out my Glock and spiel. Now, if I were to start playing something for you, you would know what to do if there were certain... If a certain song told us to do something, right? If I just... Would you know what to do if I played that? Now let me see if I can remember how to do this. Now what would you do? There's somebody walking down the aisle. What would the audience do when somebody's walking down the aisle? We stand up, right? But that was clear, right? I remembered it, didn't I? It's a fourth, sorry. But if I just start beating this like Trinity does at home, this is her. So she was so excited because I brought her music out today. The same thing is true about tongues and prophecy. He's saying, if we all desire to speak in tongues, he's not bashing the gift. He's not saying it's something that needs to be swept under or put away so that nobody sees it. He says, everybody's speaking in tongues like you guys desire. Say, it doesn't work out very well because nobody learns anything, because nobody understands anything, right? Now, brothers, if I come speaking to you in tongues, how will I benefit you or build you up unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? Even if lifeless instruments such as a flute or harp or glockenspiel do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? But if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you're just speaking into the air. There are doubtless many languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in the building up of the church. He's not quashing the gift of tongues. What's he saying? That the gift of tongues is a gift that's speaking in an unknown language, and nobody else is understanding it, except for God. When you do that, you can't understand, right? Okay. So he's saying, strive for what? Building up the church. Now, the church at Corinth, they'd not done that at all. They said, we're building up ourselves. Said, I'm more spiritual because I speak in tongues versus somebody else who is prophesying. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue with my spirit, or pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks in your spirit, how can anyone in a position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 in a word, words in a tongue. So now that he's told us, number one, he wants us to spend time pursuing love, desiring gifts, using our gifts to build up the church. And he says, if you want to speak in gifts, prophesy so that people understand what you're saying. Now he's saying this, there's a difference in prophecy versus tongues, because what? It has to do with two parts of the human being. Okay? And I'm not going to get into, if there's some of you philosophy people here who want to get into the argument of the dichotomy versus the trichotomy of the humans, no, let's not do that. But let's just talk about two parts, okay? Mind and spirit. Okay, what does Paul say? That the tongues has to do with what? Just your spirit. You don't know what your mind, you don't know what you're saying. Other people don't know what you're saying, and there's no thought here. It's kind of similar, I would say, in Romans 8, okay, when Paul says, sometimes we don't know what even to pray, but the Spirit bears witness with our spirit and our groanings, which we cannot utter, we don't understand, okay? I kind of think the tongues is very similar to that, though it's less internal and it just comes out, okay? That's kind of how I view tongues right now at this moment, okay? And so what he's saying is, you know, if I'm going to pray or I'm going to sing or I'm going to praise in the spirit, I should also do those things with my mind, okay? And so as he's talking, teaching, building up, he's saying, I'm going to teach you in something that you can understand. But he also brings together this really interesting thought of the spirit and the mind working together. We like to separate those things, don't we? Don't we? You think so? I got a couple of heads shaking. Don't you think sometimes that we like to separate things which are spirit versus mind? I think we do. I think we do. I think what Paul is saying here is that as we worship, we should worship 100% in the spirit and 100% in the mind. Some people, some churches, advocate that we worship only 100% in the spirit. Some churches would advocate that we would only worship 100% in the mind. You've all seen the stereotypes, right? I think Paul is telling us that we need to worship both and teach, use our gifts under the influence of the Spirit, being impressed and moved, and I dare say have that feeling, OK? Okay, I'm not trying to bring in all that baggage, but the Spirit, when the Spirit moves, it's an impression. Sometimes it ends up as a passion. You feel it. Okay, I'm not saying that we ought to be ruled by our feelings, but I'm also saying that we ought to have them, that the Spirit ought to be responsible for them. But I'm also saying that 100% we ought to be in our mind as well. That's what Paul is saying when he says spirit and mind. So there's an intellectual component to this as well. We ought to be moved, and we ought to have we ought to be understanding where spirit is pushing us or moving us. But we also ought to be able to think at the same time, because the Spirit's never going to do anything that's contrary to the Word of God. Because that's what we're scared about, right? If I just do what I feel like or I want to, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about God moving us to exercise our gifts, and we do it in full faculty of our mind. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he interprets. For if I pray in a tongue but my spirit prays, my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you're saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. There's that word again, built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So, basically two things today. Number one, God wants us to pursue love, desire to use our spiritual gifts in a way that builds up the church. That's the easy one, right? That's the easy one to do. That's where each of us should stop and say, is that me? Am I pursuing love, making effort to serve people with whatever gifting or whatever I can to build up the church? There should be a personal statement in there. Each one of us should say, what am I doing? How do I come together in this body to serve someone else? And the next thing that Paul says, it needs to be clear what you're saying, but he's also talking about this idea of being 100% here, and I'm just 100% here. Mind and spirit, moved, passion, motivated, but also speaking, building up, teaching. We need to have a combination of both. And so just ask you a question. Are you prepared to do that when we come together? Now, what are some ways then? Okay, so maybe it is that you're looking at me, and you're like, yeah, I sure would love to help build up the church. How can I do that? How can I use my gifts? Especially because I don't want to get up there and do what you're doing. That's fine. What are some of the ways that we can use our gifts? Some people are great listeners. Okay? And I think God takes those natural abilities that we have and he translates them into our spiritual gifts sometimes. Sometimes we just naturally great listeners, and all of a sudden now we have this gift to sit down and we're pursued, or we're impassioned to go find people who need encouragement, whether it's through listening or whether it's through helping them with what's going on in their life. Maybe that's us. Maybe sometimes you're that person that people can go to find the healing of Jesus. What else is there? What else can we do? Maybe it is that I don't want to deal necessarily. I'm not dealing with people on a spiritual level. Maybe I'm dealing with them on a physical level. And I'm building up the church through fellowship in meals. There's a gift of hospitality, right? You can encourage people in your church and bring them together over a table, a lunch, to build up the church, to bring things closer together. Maybe it is that God has given you a little maturity in your spiritual life, and now you have the passion, or you know the things to say, or you let God move you to have the right things to say. And maybe it is that you're in a situation and God has given you the gift not to just jump in and take charge over a conversation, but to be there to be able to speak truth to people, to speak God's mind. Obviously, we need to be careful with that. We don't want to stick our nose into other people's business without their permission. But we can still speak truth. We can still speak to people. There are other gifts that we can use. Leadership. Maybe it is that God has gifted you with administration and you like to move people from one place to another. Hey, let's whatever it is, whatever God has gifted you to do, and maybe you don't know it, but the Bible says, pursue love. Pursue love. So, there's a lot of stuff to look at, a lot of stuff to think about. How am I doing in my service? How can I serve? Let's not just ask and answer those questions, but when we find the answer, let's pursue it. Let's take that challenge. Let's make a difference in somebody else's life. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, we thank you for your instruction on these spiritual gifts and how that we're to come together to build up the church. And I pray that that's what we do. And I pray that we would focus on the love that you have given us, that we understand, and that we would turn around and be able to use that love on someone else. That you would help us to use what you've gifted us with for the building up of the body, and that, Lord, you would help us to not be afraid of being moved spiritually, but also worshiping and serving with our mind as well. God, we thank you for all that you do for us. Help us to think about these gifts, and I pray that you'll help us to move on these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.